I'm originally from Canada, as you can tell from the twang in my voice. I'm not from these parts. But God called us to Brighton 11 years ago, and we've been just serving the Lord here and just developed a great friendship with David, your pastor, and him and I, we've spent a lot of time together, laughing together, and actually even as a church, some of you may know this, we spent a bit of time meeting in your building while you guys were not here in the nighttime. No, it was... you guys were having this bit replaced, the ceiling work. We were meeting in your small hall, and so that was great. You guys are working on a series in John 17, and I've just been asked to share a part of that. And so I don't necessarily want to package anything around my passage, because I don't quite know what's been shared up to this point. I know it's been fantastic, I just don't know quite what. It is a passage of Scripture that Jesus was speaking to his disciples, or he was praying for his disciples. He was praying for those that would come after him. And those who put their faith in Jesus, actually this passage is a prayer for you. This is a passage of prayer for us. It's something God has intended for our lives. And the passage of Scripture in particular, there's just a few verses that we're going to read this morning. Now we're going to read John chapter 17, verses 15 to 19. And it says this, it says, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you would protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, as I am not of the of it. Sanctify them by the truth of your word. As you sent me into the world, I sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified." The verse in particular that we're looking at is verse 18. It says this, is again, it says, "As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." As you have sent me, I have sent them. As you, I have. In other words, how Jesus was sent into the world is how he sends us into the world. Okay? When we give our lives to Jesus, Jacob today was baptized, he a symbol of him giving his life to Jesus, following him, no longer living for his old life, now choosing to follow him. At the point that we say yes to him, you and I are immediately called on mission. It isn't a matter of saying, "I'm giving my life to Jesus and I'm going to stay at the starting blocks." When we say yes to Jesus, we start on a journey, right? To follow means we're moving. Would that be correct? You don't follow someone and stay still. And so when we follow Jesus, we're on a mission. And so Jesus is actually, "As you've sent me into the world, as I've been purposed on this planet, those who follow me, I'm also sending with the same purpose and the same way that I've come, I'm sending them." Jacob's on mission now. Actually, when we give our lives to Jesus, we do not have an option to opt out of mission. Each one of us are called to follow after Jesus. But when we look at this passage, "as you have sent me," in other words, as Jesus was sent, we are being sent in the same way. And so it's important to look at, how was Jesus sent? How was he sent? How was he sent in this world? What did Jesus look like when he came? The first thing that we can see is that Jesus moved in power, didn't he? When Jesus came onto the earth, he didn't just come as some guy, son of a carpenter, live a nice life. He wasn't just a good man. There's been a lot of good people throughout history who've lived on the face of the earth, but no one has changed the world. There's been a lot of good people. Jesus wasn't just a good man. He wasn't just a prophet who spoke things of God. He wasn't just some guy. He demonstrated the power of God, and that is what set him apart, wasn't it? When he came and he proclaimed that the kingdom of God is at hand, it was accompanied with power. It was accompanied with signs and wonders. Deaf people could hear. The lame would walk. The dead were raised. That kind of stuff doesn't just happen with good people, does it? Come on, church. I'm from a Pentecostal background, and so it's okay if you kind of feed back a little bit to me. He wasn't just a good guy, and because good people, supernatural things happen. No, he was moving in the power of the Spirit. When Jesus was raised up from the water, Jesus was baptized. Now, his baptism wasn't a baptism of repentance. He wasn't choosing now to live a different life, but he was following the obedience of the Father, right? And so when he came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended upon him, and that was an anointing upon his life for the ministry that would then ensue, which would happen at that point. Now, Jesus was 100% human. When he came into the earth, he came 100% human. He had the same limitations as you and I. When we look at Jesus, we mustn't look at him from the perspective of somehow he was a superhero. He was like Superman. He had some kind of power that was special that, you know, those who follow him, we just look at him and marvel, and but we could never be like that. Actually, no, he was received power from on high when the Holy Spirit came upon him. The Holy Spirit enabled him to move in the things that he did. It was the Spirit of God in him. But the funny thing is, or the amazing thing is in John 14, 12, it says, you will do even greater things than these. Wow. You and I who are following, who are also being sent in the world, God said, I've given you something. I'm going to give you something to enable you to walk in my steps. Actually, collectively, we will do even greater things. Jesus said to his disciples in Acts 1, 8, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Here Jesus said, you will. But can I tell you what? That was future tense. But you know what? If you keep reading through the book of Acts, and you don't stop at chapter 1, you get to chapter 2, you realize that the Holy Spirit came. And at that moment, the Spirit was poured out upon all flesh. All who put their faith in Jesus, there's empowerment, there's a baptism in the Holy Spirit. There's one thing to be baptized in water and have a baptism of repentance. But Jesus said, I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with power, with fire. That there will be something not of you in your life, but there will be something of the power of the Spirit enabling you to be my witness. You and I are called to bear witness to his name in the power of his Spirit. You see, when we profess that Jesus is King, that he's Lord of our lives, when we profess that he is the answer to the world, do you know what? There's power when it's accompanied with power. What makes Jesus? Why would I put my faith in Jesus? Why would you put your faith in Jesus? Just a good guy? No. He'll change your life. And these signs and wonders accompany the proclamation of the gospel. That's why we've been given the power. Jesus was given power to bring the kingdom, to usher in the kingdom. But you and I have been given the same power. In fact, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in who?
Us.
Say us. Us. Thank you. You got it. It's us. However, the passage just say you. It says you, but it's us. The same Spirit is in Jesus, that was in Jesus, is in you and me. That's a powerful thing. But God calls us to be filled, to be baptized, to walk in it. So the same way as Jesus was sent into the world, he is sending us into the world, not saying, okay, go into all the world and be my disciples and make disciples. Just go for it, guys. And kind of just in us, in our own strength, in our own ability, kind of fumbling about. No, no, no. He hasn't done that. He's given us his Spirit to give us power to do it. As he was sent into the world, we are sent in the world, not in our own strength and our own power, but we are given the power of his Spirit so that our lives would demonstrate him. That when we profess Jesus, we're not professing a dead God, we're professing a living Savior who can change situations. Come on. You are called to be the change agent, to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. You are the one that God has chosen. Isn't that exciting? Brighton and Hove and Port Slade and the surrounding area needs to see Jesus' power at work in your life. The world does not just need to see nice people who go to church on Sunday. They need to see that the faith that we put in Jesus is true. It's real. It's there. It's tangible. Why? Because I was sick, but you prayed for me and now I'm healed. I was about to die, or I was dead even, and he raised me back to life. I tell you what, would not Brighton get talking if the church was moving in power like this? If we reflected what Jesus' ministry looked like, would not people start to wonder, this is the real deal?
Come on. When we look at revivals throughout history, when we look at great moves of God, it's always accompanied with signs and wonders. It isn't just because some guy's a great preacher. It's because things happen when God's there. But he chooses to work through your life and my life. And it isn't about being someone in authority in the sense of a pastor. He chooses the meek and the lowly things to confound the wise. He chooses to use people like me and people like you to bring great change to this world. Guys, you and I are part of the plan. So just as Jesus was sent out in power, we are sent out in power. But Jesus was sent out in power, but he was also sent out with authority. Jesus was given all authority. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus says, all authority. I want you to say all.
All.
Not all of you said it. I want you to say all. Okay, that's better. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then he says, therefore go and make disciples, right? Jesus has all authority over every principality and power. Do you know what? It is not a battle right now between God and the demonic realm. Do you know what? God has all authority. Jesus has all authority over every principality and power. It is not a competition. He's been given all authority. He took back anything that would stand against us. He has authority over sickness and disease. He has authority over every circumstance and problem. Wow. Now, just as Jesus was given all authority, his earthly ministry reflected this, didn't he? Didn't it? When he moved around and he did things, the demons, they would react to his authority. When he came, they understood who he was. When those that were suffering with all sorts of things came into Jesus in contact with him, there was a recognition of his authority over disease, over sickness, over the elements, over the rain and the wind. He had authority. When you and I put our faith in Jesus, can I tell you what? We are given his authority in Jesus' name. You and I have the same authority because, not because I have authority, but who I represent has authority. We've been given the same authority to set people free. We can speak to the mountains to be moved. We're told in Mark 11:23. You and I have the authority to do that. Why? Because we are in Jesus. Jacob put his faith in Jesus, and that gives him the authority to move in the authority of Jesus. So when Jesus says, this is what I want you to do, I give you that authority to do it, you can do it in his authority, and everything else has to adjust because Jesus has the ultimate authority. Now, how does this work in principle? We have in our world, especially in the UK, we have police. Now, what's interesting is a police officer can stand on the motorway and stop a lorry, can't he? It's helpful if the lights are on and there's safety involved there. But in himself, a police officer is just flesh and bones. He's just a person. He has in himself nothing to stop major pieces of equipment motoring down the motorway. He has nothing in himself. But when he represents the government and the higher authority, he has all authority to stop traffic, to take people out of their cars, to arrest people when they're doing wrong. He has authority because he's not acting in his own power. He's under submission to a higher authority. Would we agree with this?
Yes.
And because in this moment, when he is under authority, he has authority, and everyone else has to submit to it. And if you don't choose to submit to it, then there's a higher authority that takes control. And there's more police officers, and there's the military, and there's all of government that will take the case of that police officer. Why? Because he's part of something bigger. The police officer in himself, if he was not uniformed, not in his police car, and just a civilian standing on the street or on the motorway trying to stop a lorry, he'll get hit. Because he would not be representing anything greater. What's the point? You and I have been given authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, the Bible says. We've been given authority. Now, the problem is that for you and I, we don't realize the authority we have. And we go through situations, we face problems, and we're going into the world, and God has given us authority to bring His kingdom to earth, to exercise His purposes here on this planet. And it's kind of like a parent who has children, not realizing that they're the parent, and the children are the children. We have authority as parents over our children. God, we're bigger, we're older, we're stronger, we should know more, right? And so when our kids are not acting up, we can exercise authority to discipline and to bring them into order. But what happens when a parent chooses to relinquish that authority to their child? The child is unruly and there's all sorts of stuff going on. It's chaotic. Why? Because they've chosen not to exercise their authority. You and I have authority over the demonic realm in Jesus. You and I have authority over sickness. You and I have authority over all sorts of stuff. Now, the thing is that for many of us, we can spend our lifetime praying about something when Jesus has given us the authority to just do something about it. When Peter and John, after they were filled with the Spirit, and they came to the temple, and there was a guy that was begging, and they said he was wanting money. He said, you know, I don't have any money. But in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Now, did they have a worship band with them? No. Did they have a congregational prayer meeting and an altar call and just a nice setting? We're just going to wait upon the Spirit. No, they were just on the street. It was just there. And they said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. They didn't even pray for him. They just moved in authority. How many people would be healed if we just said, in the name of Jesus, be healed? It's an audacious thing. We'd much rather say, God, if it's your will, please heal. Actually, because I've given you authority just to speak healing. Jesus said, be healed. He just did it. And he's given us, the same way Jesus was sent to the world, he sent us into the world. He's given us authority. I want you to say, I have authority.
I have authority.
Some of you do not believe this statement. Okay. I want you to do it again. I have authority.
I have authority.
Okay. Now the next challenge is for us to activate it, to use it. Authority is only of any value if it's used. Okay? And so Jesus used his authority, and he calls us to use his authority. Jesus is sending us in power. He sends us with authority, but he also sends us with this third thing, is with a purpose. Power and authority on its own is of no value if it's not sent with a purpose. Jesus was sent into the world to establish his kingdom, to reconcile the world to the Father. He was sent on purpose. He didn't just come just to do random things. The same thing is for you and I. We're not on this planet, and even serving Jesus, putting our faith, we're not just randomly just doing stuff. God has put us on a plan, on a course to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, and that is with a purpose. It is to establish his kingdom in the hearts of man. It isn't something political, but it's the mission of bringing people into his family. Mankind was created to be part of his kingdom. And at the point that Adam and Eve sinned, there was, in essence, you could say they were banished from the kingdom because of sin. Yet Jesus came to restore all things. I mean, that's why we celebrate baptism. Why? Because it's someone coming back to that place of where God intended us to be from the very beginning in this relationship with him. But we are given the same calling and purpose that Jesus had. And I just want to read one more verse. He says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through to 21. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new is come. Isn't that fantastic? Jacob, isn't that fantastic? Excuse me. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We were given the same calling and purpose. Again, it starts from this process of becoming a new creation, saying yes to Jesus, giving all of my life to Him, admitting that I've fallen short of His glory. I've made mistakes, but by His grace, He offers His forgiveness. And at the point I turn to Him, He then gives me this ministry of reconciling the world to Himself. Just as I've been reconciled to God, He says, now I want you to reconcile the world to God, to the Father. I want you to be my ambassadors. An ambassador represents another government or another country in a different country. Would you agree with that? We've got embassies in London that represent all sorts of different countries. And there are ambassadors in those embassies that are the official representation of their own country in the country that they're living. They're living as a foreigner, though, in that country. You and I are not from here. Okay, I'm not from here, especially. But actually, when we put our faith in Jesus, we're born again. We're born into His kingdom. We're born into His family. And what it means is actually, we are now on assignment, and this is no longer our home. I don't care how long you've lived here. If you were born in the Brighton Hospital, it doesn't matter. Actually, spiritually, you're not from a different kingdom. And God's aim and objective for your life is to bring other people into the kingdom like you've been brought into the kingdom. That you would bring other people into this amazing relationship with the Father. That is your high calling. Every one of us has the same high calling in our life. It's to bring other people into the same relationship that we have. Why? Because it's amazing. It's the reason we exist. He wants us to move in this. We are called on assignment to make followers of Jesus. And it's His power of the Spirit that enables us to do it. It's the authority He gives us that equips us for this purpose, to make disciples. Again, can I go back to this point? Who would want to be part of something that's lifeless and dead? Nobody. Nobody. But can I tell you what? A life set on fire, a life that's full of power and moving in the authority that God has given it, a life that's bearing witness to Jesus in everyday life, that person changes the world around them. And you know what? History speaks for that. The early church was not a lot of people. In fact, you think of it, Jesus ministered 3.5 years approximately. He had crowds following Him, but at the end, actually only 120 were waiting for the Spirit. There was only a few. But you and I are here today because of what has been done through their lives. Think of it, the worldwide church. How many millions of people currently are in the church today and throughout history? Why? Because people have chosen to keep walking in the purposes and the plans and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the plans that God has for them to continue to bear witness to the next generation, to make disciples. You and I are here because of someone else. Yeah? Maybe some of you, there's been a supernatural something. But generally, God chooses to work through our lives. He chooses to work through your life. And you know, sometimes we look at our situations that we're in, and we just think, you know, oh, there's water there. I'm feeling something wet on my fingers. We're looking at our situations. We're looking at what's going on, and maybe we're praying into it. But you know what? God has put you where you're at. You are to be the light in your environment. And sometimes we wait for someone else to do it, to be the light, to speak up at work, to pray for the person beside us, to exercise the authority that God has given you, to speak to mountains to be moved, to speak life into situations that are maybe dead. He's given you that authority. He's given you that power. He's given you everything that you need to fulfill your mission. But at the end of the day, you're the one who can only do it. Right? You're the only one in your family or in your workplace or in your environment, in your neighborhood. You're the one that's there as the ambassador. You're the ambassador. Just think of it. You are the ambassador. You're representing the kingdom. You're representing Jesus. And just as Jesus was sent into the world, you and I are being sent into the world. I want to challenge you this morning that you and I can't do it in our own strength. I've discovered in my own life that enthusiasm starts to wane when it is difficult. But it goes in these three things. One is being in this position where we receive the Holy Spirit. I'm a firm believer that I can do nothing without the empowerment of the Spirit. If I want my life to make any difference to the world around me, I need something more than me. And Jesus has given me his Spirit. And in Ephesians 5:18 it says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled. Which isn't just a one-off experience, but it's a constant place of being filled. Saying, God, today, as I go to work, as I'm with family, as I'm with friends, God, I need your Holy Spirit. Do you know Jesus, before he was set out on his day, do you know, we see in Scripture over and over, he would go off on his own and he'd spend time with the Father. But you know, I believe those were times where he was being filled with the Spirit. He was allowing the Spirit to come and move in his life, to empower him to feed the 5,000, to speak life, to be prophetic, to move in the realm that he needed to, that people would turn their hearts to the Father. And so there's this place for you and I. Can I tell you what? It isn't just a one-off experience. It's coming back to the Father day after day. It's, God, I need more of your Spirit. I need your Spirit. I need to be filled. The second thing is exercising the authority. There are moments that we just need to exercise the authority that God has given us. There are times we can pray all we want, but God has given us the authority to do it. And if you don't agree, look in your Scripture. I challenge you. When Jesus has said, all authority has been given to you, therefore go, there's this indication that because you're in me, you can do it. These signs shall follow them that believe. They will cast out demons. They will drink deadly poisons and it won't harm them. They'll pick up snakes. There's this list of supernatural things for those that believe. Why? Because God has given us the power and the authority. But the last thing is this, for us to fulfill his mission is for us to live on purpose. Do you know what? We don't live this world to satisfy our own pleasures, our own need. I mean, Jesus talked about storing up treasures in heaven. This whole idea of actually we live for him. And I think it for all of us, there's a temptation because we live in this world. It's very easy to be conformed by the world and to live out a Christian life from the world's perspective, right? Where it's about what we do, the money we make, the cars we drive. It's all about us. But in Romans, we're challenged to not be conformed with the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we would know his perfect will. And you and I, we have a calling that he has for our lives. And you know, today God has placed you in a strategic location. But when we give our lives to Jesus, it isn't demon possession where we suddenly are taken over by something. But we constantly are in a position of choice of whether we are the witness, of whether we are the one pointing people to the Father, whether we are that person in our circumstance. You and I have the choice. And it requires a willingness on our part to say, God, I want to be part of what you're doing. I want to be part of your plan. God has a plan for your life today. He has the power to enable you to do it. And he's given you authority to action it, to live it out. But he's looking for your willingness to say, God, I want to be part of it. I don't want to just stop at the starting line. But I want to fulfill the race. I want to run the race you've called me to. Which is ultimately to win other people for your kingdom, for your into relationship with you. And this morning, I guess the simplest response to this is this, is to say, God, here am I. I want to be part of it. I don't want to just read about stories of people who do great things. I don't want to just look at the book of Acts, looking at it as a historical book. But I want this to be still written in my life. I want the world around me to be touched and changed because of what you're doing through my life. I don't want to just see the pastors doing it. I want to be doing it. I want everything you have for me. And I say yes, Lord, to you. If that's you today, I want you to stand with me at this moment. I'm standing, not just because I have to stand, but I'm standing because I want God to do that in my life. Maybe at this time, if the worship team could come as well. As a simple sign of surrender, it would be great if we could just lift up our hands in this position of just saying, hey, God, here we are. Here we are. You know, what's amazing about the Lord is he's no respecter of person. Doesn't matter your age. Doesn't matter your gender. Doesn't matter what part of the world you're from. A life surrendered to him, empowered by his spirit, moving in the authority he's got. Do you know what can change the world around that person? And so this moment, we're going to just invite God to come and to move in our lives, to stir us, to maybe recalibrate our hearts if we've been off course a bit, that he would fill us with his spirit and he would give us the boldness to walk in his authority. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you would call us. Lord, your word says it isn't that we chose you, but you chose us. And you appointed us to bear much fruit, fruit that would last. So often, Lord, we make our life about us. We make it about what we're doing. We live for the temporal when you call us to live for the eternal. You said, you challenge us to set our eyes upon things above and not upon things of this world. And Father, this day we want to be sent out as you were sent out. We want to walk in the things that you walked in. Lord, you said that we would do even greater things than these. And Lord, we don't want that just to be theory. We want that to be reality in us. We want signs and wonders to follow our lives because we're fulfilling the purpose you have for us. We're sharing our faith. We're bearing witness to who you are. But we're believing for impossible things. We're speaking to mountains to be moved. We're speaking healing over people's lives and situations, Lord. God, I pray a boldness to come upon us today. Lord, we need more of your spirit. We need to be filled afresh in you. Lord, we need a vision that propels us onward to take hold of that which you've called us to. Lord, I pray you forgive us for being distracted by the things of this world. When you call us to something greater, you call us to something eternal. And God, I pray that this day our lives would be freshly anointed. Lord, to bring the good news of your kingdom to the world around us. Lord, I pray for each person in this room today. God, in the circumstances they're currently in, God, I pray that your light would shine through their lives. Lord, that they would be pointing people to you, that they would be speaking to situations in the power of your spirit to see real change happen. Lord, I pray for testimonies to happen week after week of people being healed, people being set free, people being delivered because of the work being done through ordinary people in this church. God, I thank you call the church to be alive, to be a church that represents you in every way. And I pray the Holland Road Church would move into a new season of signs and wonders, a new season of people moving into the realm that maybe didn't even think possible. God, I pray for faith to arise. I pray for faith to arise in each person in this place, Lord. God, may there be a different expectation to prayers. God, that isn't just praying small prayers, but God, we want to be a people of faith that believe for impossible things to happen. God, I pray for new things to happen in this place. Jesus, Jesus. Lord, I pray for David. I pray for the leadership of this church, for the eldership. Holy Spirit, I pray, God, for fresh vision upon their lives. Fresh calling, fresh anointing. Jesus. Jesus. Holy Spirit, come. Jesus. sense in the spirit that God is wanting to break through in this place. I don't know exactly what lies ahead in Holland Road, but I believe God is calling this church to move into greater things. I believe there's people in this room right now, God is calling at this moment to step out, to step out. Don't give way to fear. Don't give way to what people will think. But I believe God is calling this church to move into another realm of His authority, to bring it, to be change agents. He isn't calling us just to be a nice church on Holland Road that everyone looks at us and say, what a nice church. But He calls us to be a church representing His power. And I believe God is calling you as a church to move into greater things of His power. I believe He's called you out. He's called you out. Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.